Good morning again to you in Radio Land and here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle this morning. This is Brother Herman Gale speaking to you at this time and inviting you to stay tuned to the broadcast. And this broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Brother Herman Gale. And our post office box is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70114. Now we praise the Lord again for the Bible School of the Air that just passed and for this hour here. And may his blessings rest upon us. And our Father, this morning, we do thank thee for the glorious light of the gospel. And may it continue to shine forth from here in this tabernacle, reaching out to the hearts of sinners, calling sinners to repentance, granting faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee this morning for thy marvelous grace that thou hast bestowed upon us, for thy eternal salvation that thou hast purposed before the foundation of the world, that thou hast chosen us in Christ, redeemed by his precious blood, even though, Father, we didn't know when we were yet in our mother's womb, thou hast called us forth to teach us and to lead us, to guide us in thy divine providence through this life until the time when you would deal with our hearts in salvation and reveal that living reality to our hearts of what thou hast done and purposed back in eternity. And our Father, this morning, we ask thy blessings upon the message that will go forth in the next hour, upon the songs, upon every individual here this morning, and especially those who are shut-ins this morning, those that are sick, and especially those who will have to go through an operation this week, that thou will bless them and be with them and guide them and keep them. And our Father, this morning, may thy word find its way into the hearts of sinners. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to bring forth sinners crying unto thee for mercy, for deliverance. We thank thee for our enemies this morning. We ask thee to bless them where they are. And may as they listen, Heavenly Father, this morning, they might listen with a critical spirit. But our Father, may the error go home to their hearts, dividing the son of the soul and the spirit, that the King of glory will come in, lead us and guide us this day, and may it be a day that we'll never forget in the presence of our Lord, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Now let's turn to 491 and sing My Savior First of All. Let's sing that.
Come on.
That's a gracious number. Has always been one of my favorites. I know it's always been one of our late pastor's favorite. He is so precious. He is so precious to me. He is precious to my heart. Peter tells you that unto you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But unto them who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. But to you who believe, Christ is precious. Once believing, always believing. Once coming, always coming. Once trusting, always trusting. Once repenting, always repenting. You never cease repenting till you get to the pearly gates. I know I haven't. I repent every day. Every day I'm repenting. Just repenting before Him. God's called us to repentance. But we praise the Lord this morning that we're able to be here again. But for His grace, nowhere else we'd rather be than to be in His will. I know this past week has been a week that I just haven't experienced like it. I guess I'm going to experience more and more. But I praise the Lord that He's with us, He's in us, He surrounds us, He loves us. Never lets me get down the way I can't cry, the way I can't rejoice. I know yesterday at home I got a call from someone, supposed to be a friend of mine, I won't say his name, threatening me, threatening this church, this ministry, because of the truth I stand for. Because there's no compromise. I'd rather die than compromise. And he went on and on, on and on. But nevertheless, like I told him, I said, now, God's on the throne. I said, this is not my work. This is no man's work. This is God's work. And I said, now, if you're trying to make me fear, you're trying to strike fear into my heart, you've got the wrong person. Because I don't fear you or nobody else. Long as I know I'm walking in the will of God and His Spirit is leading me, I'm not to fear no one. You know, you become a lonely man sometimes to your family, to your loved ones, to your kin. And that's why the Apostle Paul made that statement over and over again. He says, I know no man after the flesh, that he might be true to the word of God, to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm defending the cross. The cross of Christ. He says, I'm set to defend the gospel. Brother, we don't have too much of that today, where preachers are set to defend the gospel against all error, against the evil speaking ones, against the slanderer. But Paul, I got something new this week from him. He says, I'm set to defend in defense of the gospel. He was determined. And then read on further and see how he suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to take your stand and suffer with Him? I got a new slant on a word this morning. Kind of got it in my mind this week. A lot of people come up to you, you know, and I appreciate it. And they mean good by it. I understand that too. You know, Brother Herman, I'm behind you 100%. Well, that's good. I'm glad. And I praise the Lord for everyone's behind me. But you know where I'd rather for you to be? I'd rather for you to be walking with me, alongside of me, not behind me, hand in hand, going forward together. Walking with me, hand in hand, going forward together in the work of the Lord. Not for gain purposes, not to make a reputation, not for anything but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all I intend to do. That's what I've given my life for. And that's why I'm able to rebuke those who oppose it. Because I'm to exalt Christ. And if you don't like that, well, you, and I know you're listening this morning, you say you're making tapes of me. The gospel has gotten under your hide and you're fighting back. And it's exactly, anyone who fights the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a rebel, he's of Satan, and you got to watch out for him. But I praise the Lord for his marvelous grace, his keeping power that subdues. And my prayer was like the prayer of David, Lord, the net that they had prepared for me, let them get caught in it themselves. Let me tell you, people, you may not realize it, my people, but God's on the throne, and he's to be feared and loved and adored. And he's not to be taken like man is. His promises are true. His promises are true and faithful. Whether there be promise of salvation or promise of judgment, it's coming. The mill of God may grind slowly, but it grinds surely. In our young lives and our youthful lives, we might say, I'll do so much. Yes, as long as we got strength and vitality, we can rear up and pitch and snort. But brother, there's coming a time when that's all going to stop. God's on the throne, and he's leading us, and he's guiding us. Though the hell is knocking at the doors of this assembly, and let me warn you about those who are asking you if you can receive their tapes and things like that, I'd reject it, I'd refuse it, because they're enemies of the gospel. They have no gospel. They preach nothing but hatred, jealousy, prejudice, because their life is confined to that. Beware, Paul says, beware of them. Beware. Try to draw away disciples after them. And brother, if I didn't know that, If the Lord's hand wasn't upon us here, we'd all go. We'd follow him. But God is drawing the line. You're either with Christ, you're either with this ministry, or you're not. You cannot be on the dividing line. You're going one way or another. I don't care who it is. If you're a mission leader, if you're not with us, if you're not behind us, if you're not with us, let's get that word behind. I'd like for you to be behind me, alongside of me, walking with the Lord as we walk together. You're going to go. I'm concerned about our missions. I certainly am. I've been praying for you, praying for the people at the missions. Because I know this is the opportune time. It seemed like it's right for people to come in and sift and try to destroy and usurp. Because things are not getting going like they think it ought to go. Usurp authority. Take things in their own hand. I've been hearing reports. You know, the devil, sometimes he gets tricked in his own trade. But the Lord usually lets things spring upon us. Things let us know, come to our ears, what's happening. You know, people, you hear in our radio land, I just believe the word of God. Call me an ignorant fool, and that's what I am. But I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I praise his name for it. I just want to praise his name this morning. That I have been bought with a price. Not with silver or gold. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So much Paul was concerned for his people. Wherefore I testify unto you this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers. God's made me overseer of this flock here. I am to guard it with my life. I am to point out the evil that besets us. Those that would try to destroy us or hinder the gospel of the grace of God from reaching you as a sinner, reaching out yonder in the missions. Take heed. Watch out. Be the watchman on the wall. I've made you a watchman on the wall. Take heed, therefore, to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made you overseer. Now, this is not voluntary. The Holy Spirit made you overseer. The Holy Spirit put us here. No one man did it. The Holy Spirit did. And like Dr. Copeland wrote me this week, and how we rejoice together in the Lord. And he said he wants to ordain me if I'm ever elected pastor. I don't know whether I will be or not. But if he says, I think you will be, he says, I want to be down there to ordain you. And the thing that struck me was that he said, since the pastor's death, the last time he preached, that Saturday he called me down and he asked me to preach, this church has not missed one Sunday of telling the old story, the old gospel of grace. And I thought about that. I praise the Lord for that. We didn't miss one Sunday here since the pastor's death. And everybody thought God was gone off and left us. But you know the Lord's with us. He hadn't gone off and left us, or the enemy wouldn't be fighting as much as they are. He's with us, and he's precious, and we're rejoicing in him. And we can go forward in his strength, bearing the testimony of the grace of God and the power of God, the power of the gospel, to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Now here's what they're doing. This is what they're trying to do. Now why you said that before? I've got to warn you people. Because I'm not sure for some of you. I am for some. But there are some I'm not sure of. You have not been grounded. You have not come to the place to where you believe God's word, believe the truth. You have never really come to take your stand and put your feet in the ground and say, this is it. I won't listen to nobody else. I don't care who it is. After my departing, and this what has happened after our late pastor's departing, and this is what's happening now, what Paul is bringing to our mind today. He had that trouble yonder, way back there, then, in his time, and they've had it every New Testament church, every place where the gospel is preached, in the power of God's Holy Spirit, they're having that same trouble. Get rid of one, they try to get in. Grievous wolves, hungry wolves, they're entering among you, not sparing the flock. They're not concerned with nothing, just getting in and scattering, bringing their own programs, the damnable heresies of their own teachings. Draw away disciples after them and lead them in the same way that they've gone, to destruction. Lead them in the same way. You go away from this gospel lighthouse, people. If you drift away from here and you keep listening over here and this sound over here is getting the best of you, you had better watch out. You better lean that ear back over this way and lean towards the gospel that saves sinners. Because you go that way, you may never come back. I've watched those lives since they left here. And I've seen those lives tighten up. I've seen nothing but a desperate look on their face. I'll get even. I've seen on those lines that once used to smile and were soft, mellowed under the influence of the gospel, though they may have never known Christ, I've seen them harden, seen those wrinkles and that forehead just crumble up there. But on the other hand, I've seen those who let the grace of God operate in their hearts and lives, who've listened to the gospel, the grace of God, and was wooed by the Holy Spirit. I've seen those hardened hearts and those hardened faces transform. I see them today, and I praise the Lord for them. Nobody's fooling or kidding around with me. I'm God's servant. I'm to know those things. I'm to watch for those things. Take heed over the flock of God. Warn them if they leave here. They're gone. And our pastor's preached that thing ever since he's been here. And some have not taken the heed, the warnings, and they're gone forever. Nothing but a fearful, far looking of judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversary. That's all. I praise the Lord, he kept me. I praise the Lord, he held me. I praise the Lord, he tended my heart towards this ministry, towards this gospel. I praise the Lord, he taught me by his Spirit, and his word is precious. Christ is precious. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is precious to me. He's my salvation. Is he yours? Do you know Christ? Do you know him? Can you say with assurance in your heart that you know Christ? If you did, you'd die for this ministry. Now, you might as well make up your mind. You'll die for this ministry. You'll give your life for it, your every drop of your blood. If you can't say that, there's something wrong. When you come to Christ, you unhorse, you surrender, you hoist the white flag, and Christ is Lord. See? Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's got everything you have. And he's everything that you want. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing in the world that you're known of him and you know him. You have nothing to fear. You can walk through this world praising the Lord, rejoicing with that blessed hope. And as it gets greater and brighter before you, as it's set before you, your hope within the veil, Christ, our high priest, our mediator. That's the salvation I want all of you to have. That's the salvation that we extend to you here. It's not something imaginary. It's not just something that lasts for a little while. It's not a great experience. It's not a light. It's reality. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Blessed Lord, I'm telling you, there's no such thing as being saved today and lost tomorrow, or not being sure of this and not being sure of that. That's shaky grounds. I don't want that. I wouldn't have it. I want something I could stand on. And I got that foundation, Christ, that I could stand on this morning and charge all of hell with it. Let them call me on the phone. Let them threaten me. I preached a message to him yesterday. He said, you sound just like Shelton. Praise the Lord. I hope I continue to sound like Shelton. Call me a Sheltonite if you want to. I'm Christ-like. I'm Christ-like. And you can't gainsay that either. Oh, I have nothing against you, Brother Herman. I have nothing against you. You don't have to be afraid of me. I have nothing against you. I was waiting for him to accuse me of something. He's going to find something before long. But I'll be able to look that rascal in the eye and call him a liar like I did yesterday. He knows my life. He knows the life I live, and you know my life, the life I live before you. I've been true to my Lord. He's been true to me. He's made me what I am. And I wouldn't exchange anything in this world for what I've got today. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Like I say, there might be some of you that might be on the dividing line right now. You're thinking of drawing away because you see that you can't work your schemes and your things here. I tell you, you're a loser unless you turn to the Lord. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, Paul was telling his people, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, that wasn't my message this morning. The Lord dealt with my heart along that line. Now, I have another message here. And let's begin with that. I know I won't finish it. Turn with us to Isaiah in your Bible, the 40th chapter. He begins here, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Now, how are you going to comfort God's people? The Apostle Peter knew how to do it. Keep them stirred up. Don't let them sit idle. Don't let them sit down and just think that salvation is all of grace and no more. Or just think that maybe just take it for granted. Now I'm saved and that's it. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye tenderly. Now that word comfortably means tenderly. To Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now what a cheerful note there for the believer to remind us that all of our sins have been doubly paid for in our Lord Jesus Christ. But let's get down to that third verse now. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And you know that's what takes place in the heart of every sinner before God saves him. And that's the way God keeps that individual after he saves him. Every valley shall be exalted. They that are abased will be exalted. And every mountain and hill shall be made low. Though you build your nest, yourself as high as the eagle's nest, God said he'll bring that individual down. And the crooked shall be made straight. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, that's what the Lord has to do with every sinner. Straighten up their thinking. Every sinner outside of Christ, their thinking is crooked. It's just as crooked as can be. They've got all their plans of a way of a sinner ought to be saved. I know I did before God ever got a hold of me. I thought that by living a good life, good as life as I could, take care of the family, feed the family, don't meddle anybody else's business, stay out of trouble, reform myself, I thought that was a good way. I thought it was all right. Well, that's all right in itself, but that's not the way God intended salvation to be and what he looks at. But all of our thinking is crooked. Now, mind you, if you're not saved this morning, your thinking is crooked. And the only thing that you could do is shut your mouth before God and let God teach you his way and his will. And stop arguing. Stop finding excuses. Stop trying to make plans or to tell God how to save you. Just let God do the saving. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Get still before the Lord and let him work in your heart and life. Because your life is crooked, God's word tells us. But it's not until after he saves you, he gives you a good mind, a right way, new thoughts, a new nature, and he straightens your whole life up. You look back on your life and say, gee whiz, how crooked my life was. All the Lord had to do to operate on me to get me straightened out. So therefore, trust yourself in the hands of the potter, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him make your life over. Let him make that life worthwhile living unto the praise of his honor and his glory. Yes, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Then if you turn it over to Matthew's, now we're just going to kind of touch this today, the third chapter of Matthew. At 10th verse. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But look at that 10th verse. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now what does that tell us this morning? And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Or the axe is lying at the root. The axe is lying at the root. Now let's look at that word root. You find in Deuteronomy, the 29th verse, chapter, you'll find a statement here, that 18th verse. 29:18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now what is gall? Job 24:14 tells us that his meat is the gall of asp. An asp. A snake. A serpent. Which means his meat is very bitter or severe. Now there's the root. There's bitterness. There's gall there. It beareth gall and wormwood. Now, if you would turn with me to Acts, I'm just bringing some scriptures here to get to our point that we're talking. And we're not going to get through with it, I can see now. Acts, the eighth chapter of Acts. 8. And look at the 18th verse. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. And we have people today who have been acquainted with this gospel here. There's a root of bitterness there. And they are in the gall of bitterness. That's galling. That's bitter. And in the bond of iniquity. Under the bond there of evil doing, of sin. We see here that the axe was laid to the root of bitterness in the heart of Simon. So it is in the heart of every sinner. Anyone who largest bitterness there. The Word of God refers to it as a root of bitterness. And let me tell you something. The axe is lying down at that root. At that root. To chop away at it. The root of bitterness. Are you bitter towards this ministry? Are you bitter towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saying in your heart, I don't want this man to rule over me? I don't want that Christ to rule over me. Are you bitter because things are not turning out like they ought to, because of what you think it ought to be? Are you bitter because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you bitter against those who preach the gospel? Are you bitter because things just don't seem to go your way? The axe is lying down there. It's lying there. I like to think of it just lying there. But let me tell you, it's not going to always lie there. It's not going to always be there, lying right there. Yes, we see here the axe was laid at the root of bitterness in the heart of Simon. And that's the reason why Paul told him to repent of this iniquity in your heart. Because I perceive there's gall there, there's bitterness there. The axe is not only laid to the root of bitterness, but it's also laid to the root of pride in the heart. Pride. Rebellion against the gospel. Rebellion against the voice of authority. Jealousy. Got people as jealous because I'm up here. Jealous. Jealous because others are, the Lord has elected others over them. Jealous. Jealousy is cruel as the grave, the Lord tells us. It is as cruel as the grave. And then there's, if you turn to Mark, the 7th chapter, you'll find another story here. There's 7 that tells us here about the heart, what it is that proceeds out of the heart. And it names these here that I've just spoken to you about. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. So jealousy defiles that man. It ruins his whole character. A jealous man or a jealous woman, you've seen him all the time, or his jealous child, jealous. It's cruel. This individual called me up yesterday. He's jealous because the work's not closed up. Because this work hasn't folded like he expected. He's named different members here. Going to sue every one of us. Bring us all to court. I told him, go ahead. See if you can. Try it out. Go ahead. But jealousy can lead an individual to do anything. They got people men who are jealous of other men's wife, coveting after them. Women coveting after other wives' husbands, jealousy, or coveting after another man's wealth, coveting after another man's neighbor's whatever they have. They wish they had the same thing. They're jealous. It's all fit in the same pot. Jealousy, covetousness. It leads from one sin to the other. There's bitterness there that hasn't been rooted out. Bitter. That's the root of it, the whole thing. You get that bitterness out of your heart, you'll be better off. And only the grace of God can deliver you from it. And you must cry. You must repent. You must cry. God requires it. Deliverance. What kind of fruit does God require from us? He requires good fruits. And shouldn't he expect it from us, his children, his creation? But no, all we want to do is blaspheme and curse him and argue with him and think that he's doing everything wrong. We're trying to take him off the throne. We will not listen to his gospel message. We're ruling Christ out of our life, out of our home, out of our country, and we're telling God to go somewhere. We can run things ourselves. And that's what this country is doing today. Let us alone. We can rule our country the way that that needs to be done. And that's the reason why we're in the trouble that we are now, because Christ is not even mentioned in many of your churches today. How many people you hear talking about Christ? You hear talking about one another. You hear them accusing and blaspheming and cursing. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't sing about Jesus in my midst. I had them do me that at work. I don't want to hear those songs, the blood songs. Shut up. I go and sing it anyway. Praise the Lord. Nothing can shut up a born-again believer. You've got to sing, you've got to praise, you've got to rejoice, you've got to tell somebody. In order to enable you and I to bring forth good fruit, God has given us the gospel of his Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, which contains the means. Now you use the means of God's word, the means of his grace. The motives and the influence of fruitlessness. Some will say, I don't want that gospel. I don't want that Lord and Savior to rule over me. I want my way. Leave me alone. Now, we've heard that. Leave me alone. Well, if God leaves you alone, you're going to hell. If God takes his hand off of you, you're going to hell. Even in your predicament that you are in today, if you have any bitterness and jealousy in your heart, God leaves you alone, you're gone. Don't you tell God to leave you alone. He might take you at your word. I didn't want him to leave me alone. No, siree. I'm glad he didn't. Now, this is a picture of an individual who withstands all the means which the God of mercy has employed. Is to throw the Bible overboard. Now, people have thrown the truth of God's word overboard, and a lot of people are preaching the truth according to the letter of the law, but not of the Spirit. And they're going around preaching, and boy, they think they're doing God's will. But the Spirit is not backing up that message. They're preaching the letter of the law, and therefore they get converts who are just like them, just full of jealousy and malice and hatred. And a lot of them are thrown over the gospel here. They're going out preaching. What are they preaching? What are the disciples like? Some of these unfruitful persons are sensual and profane. Some are intellectuals and moral. Some are professors of the gospel. Now let me say something here this morning. The axe which is lying at your root reminds you of the patience and the long-suffering of God. Now let me tell you something, sinner. It is the goodness and the patience and the long-suffering of God that leads a sinner to repentance and puts up with a sinner as long as he's put up with you in your rebellion, in your jealousy, in your bitterness. And that axe lying there at your root should show you the mercies of God and the long-suffering of God that's enduring with you. But you know, there comes a day, as the Lord describes in one of the Gospels over there, walking through, he saw a tree that didn't have any fruit. He told his disciples, cut it down. I've been patient with it long enough. I've endured with them long enough. Cut it down. Disciple says, Lord, just wait a while. Wait a couple of years. Wait 2 or 3 years. And if it doesn't bear fruit, then we'll cut it down. I'm telling you, there's some of you sitting here before me who've been lingering for years. And I've been crying this morning for you. Lord, don't let them go. Don't cut them away. Don't cut them down. But maybe somehow, some way, they're going to bear some fruit for us. Dig around a little bit more. Dig around that heart a little bit more. And I could just see that axe lying there. Cut it down. Cut it down. Cut it away. Lord, don't cut him. Don't cut him. A little bit longer. A little bit longer. Dig around it. Dig around it. You know the reason why the Lord didn't cut you away sooner, sinner? Because of his long suffering. Because of his love, his patience. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in Christ. Why don't you come to Christ? Why don't you let him break your heart? Break that bitterness? That axe is lying there. It's lying there. Lying right there. But after a while, it's going to be taken up. Well, cut off. And when he cuts it down, that's all. No more hope. No more hope. No more hope. No more convictions. Tears are gone. Concern is gone. Come in and go out. May the God of all grace and all mercy lead you down crying at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken in repentance. Crying for mercy, that he may raise you up and exalt you and place you among princes and kings That's my prayer for your heart this morning, for as many as don't know you, that do not know Christ. Many of you who have withstood the Spirit for so long, grieve not the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Without Him, you will never get to Christ. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't sin against Him. I praise the Lord that He broke me on down, chopped away at my heart, broke me off every profession I made, every resting place, every hole I got myself into to hide, and like Zacchaeus, every tree I climbed to get away. And in that respect, I know Zacchaeus got up there to see the Lord, but sometimes he's got to get it down from the tree. Come down. Come to dwell in your house. That was a wonderful day in the life of Zacchaeus. It was a wonderful day in my life. The Lord brought me down. He said, I've come to dwell in you. And I tell you, I haven't ceased yet praising Him. And the more I come to know this grace of God, the more I just rejoice and amaze at the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He would have mercy on a poor, hell-deserving sinner like me. May the God of all grace, the God of all mercy, all love, draw you to Him, is my prayer in Christ's name. Now I thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for being with us. Pray for us. We're in the midst of one of the greatest days of our life. I'm telling you, the Lord has been blessing so much in our finance. Brother Behe don't know what to do. He's been rejoicing and praising the Lord because all of our bills are current. They're paid up. The radio stations keep calling in. They want our messages. And the enemy thinks they have us defeated. And I praise the Lord how He's dealing with your heart for your tithes, your offerings, breaking the spirit of covetousness there, that you may be liberal in your giving. And I tell you something else. If you're liberal in your giving, you're going to be a cheerful individual. Because that's the first sign of the breaking of covetousness in the heart. When you can give out of the abundance of your heart unto the Lord, that makes a cheerful people. Just think of everybody in this congregation this morning gave. What a cheerful people we'll have here. Not that covetous spirit. Not that spirit of jealousy or bitterness. But out of the abundance of the heart they gave, and we give. And God's blessing the giving, and I praise His name for it. And Brother Behan told me, he says, this is the best we've been in 5 years that he knows. And wasn't that what our pastor was praying for years? That would be current in our debts and all the radio stations be paid for. We just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. But the thing about it, we don't look to the gift. We look to the giver. We thank Him. We praise Him. It keeps us on our faces before Him. We're not exalted by it. We're not proud because of it. But it keeps our eyes upon Him. Because I know He controls the wealth, the pocketbooks, and the hearts of people. And I praise Him for that. But I'm where I can be blessed at His feet. Oh, don't you want to be blessed, people? Don't you want to be blessed? Get down so low at His feet, huh? Get down, right down low at His feet like Mary. Huh? Like Mary. The Lord says she chose the better part. Like the demons, like the disciples went out and they came back. The Lord sent them out and they came back and says, oh, how marvelous was our trip. Why, even the devils and all were subject to us. And they begin to rejoice because of that. And what did the Lord tell them? Don't rejoice because the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now that's what I rejoice, not because I'm up here. Because I've been down there for years and years and years rejoicing in Christ, and I'm doing the same thing up here. And I'm not rejoicing because I'm up here or I'm a leader. I'm rejoicing because my name is written in heaven. And it's written in the Lamb's book of life, redeemed by His precious blood. And nobody can take that from me. Nobody's going to take it from me. You can't destroy that. Salvation is the greatest thing in the world. It's the only thing in the world. And it'd be the best thing in the world that will ever happen to you. You ever get saved. And I know if you're saved this morning, you can say amen to that. And we'll trust the Lord's message with Him that will bring forth fruit unto repentance. May the God of all grace rest upon you. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.